You are listening to Benefit from the Bible, which is the preaching ministry of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Parma, Ohio. It is our desire that you carefully listen, rightly understand, thoroughly apply, and eternally benefit. If you are listening on an iPhone or iPad, install the free podcast app called Overcast, then search for Benefit from the Bible. May God bless your listening. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the first chapter. In this reading, notice it refers to a time before creation, then it also includes John the Baptizer, and then it finally gets to the Christ of Christmas. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, I'm so glad you're here today. On this very day, we celebrate the birth of our Savior. We are here to hear the Word of God. We are here to sing God's praises, and we are here to receive the assurance that through the Christ of Christmas, our sins have been forgiven. However, though, regarding the state of affairs in America, things aren't quite so good. What are the trends in America when it comes to the Christ of Christmas? Let me share four of them with you. I'll do so in the form of four questions here, and this information is based on a Pew Research poll. How many Americans are celebrating Christmas? What percentage? I was surprised to find that it is 90% of Americans celebrate Christmas. However, though, less than half of the 90% are celebrating Christmas in any kind of a religious manner. In other words, they've made this secular way to celebrate Christmas, and they forgot all about the Christ of Christmas. And actually, the poll says that especially among the millennials, those who are 22 to 37 years old, they're the ones that are lowest of all as far as thinking about keeping Christ in Christmas. What about saying Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays? That was kind of a big deal a few years ago, wasn't it? However, though, unfortunately, more and more Americans are warming up to the idea of Happy Holidays. But what's the problem with that? We're taking Christ out of Christmas. And then what about this idea of putting a religious display on government property? Now, that's been very common for decades, if not for centuries, within America, and yet it became kind of a big issue more recently, and now more and more people are saying that such displays should not be allowed. I'm sure you're not surprised by that. And then one final one here. There are some very fundamental things in the Bible, which is the Word of God, when it comes to Christmas. For example, the virgin birth, the angels announcing to the shepherds about the birth of the Savior, our Savior being laid in a bed that was a manger, and also the wise men coming to visit. These are very basic fundamental things, and yet less and less people believe such things to be true. So not only is it sad they don't believe they're true, but what they're saying is this book is not true. This book is not the Word of God. So, pretty sad situation, but what's the good news for us, though? The good news for us is that God has given us the gift of faith. And even though many people say we're being foolish, God has given us faith by which we are believing in His Son to be our Savior. We have the forgiveness of our sins in Jesus Christ, and we know that a wonderful eternity is coming for all who know Jesus. We turn our attention now to our gospel reading today from John chapter 1, and it's packed with many wonderful realities about the Son of God, about His coming into the world, and about many blessings that God has for us. So let's go back to it at this time. First of all, focusing on the Son of God here, not yet Jesus, but the Son of God, the text again begins like this: In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. So we're talking here the Word of God being the Son of God. So even before creation, the Son of God was there with the Father and also with the Holy Spirit. And then the text says, all things were made through Him, and without Him, not anything was made that has been made. So Dr. Giesler does a nice job of this by helping us think about God the Father, not being so much the creator, but the designer, or as he would say, the architect, and then God the Son functioning more like the general contractor in order to do the actual building. Also, too, the text goes on and it says regarding the Son of God, in Him was life. In Him was life. In other words, He's that life source. Think about it like this if you can. You know, in our modern homes today, we are blessed to have multiple electrical outlets in every room. Imagine, though, living in a multiple-room house And in the entire house, you only had one electrical outlet. That'd be quite a hassle, wouldn't it, to be able to function within that home? But yet many years ago, when they only had one, people were thrilled to have the one, right? But anyway, though, with one electrical outlet, there's only one place you could go in order to plug in to get power. Well, Jesus Christ, as it says here, in him was life. He is that one source of life in all the universe. So when you think about it, everyone who's living physically, they live because of him. He's their source of physical life. And then everyone who's living spiritually, he is their source of spiritual life. That's how important the Son of God is. It also says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. So not only is he life, but then he shines the light, and he shines the light in the darkness. Our world is full of sin. It is full of death. It is shrouded in darkness. But what does the Son of God do? He shines the light into the darkness. So that light shows the reality that we are sinners. That light shows the reality that he is in fact the Son of God. That light shows the reality that through him there is forgiveness and eternal salvation. Now we might think that the world is awful powerful and awful dark, and maybe that darkness can somehow overcome the light of Christ. The good news is that the gates of hell cannot prevail against our Savior, nor can the darkness of the world ever snuff out the light of Jesus Christ. And let's understand that the world is trying, and the world will try more and more and more, but God tells us the victory has been won, and the world cannot overcome the light of Christ. The text goes on, has a section here on John the Baptizer. So it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. So we know how John was sent by God as the forerunner, as the one to scout out the path, as the one to prepare the way for the coming Savior. So he did that by calling people to repent. How can we do something similar in our own lives? Can we be like a John the Baptizer? Well, we certainly encounter people probably every day that need to repent, so we can kindly call them in that way, and we can say, I love you so much that I'm calling you to repent. And they might say, well, what does that mean? And then we can explain a little bit how we're all sinners, how God has sent his Son, and how without repentance, without acknowledging our sins, without being sorry for our sins, without knowing Jesus Christ, there is no forgiveness and there is no eternal life. So we can talk with them a little bit in simple terms and help them understand. And then going on to the third part of the sermon here, we come to the Son of God now putting on human flesh. So we come to kind of a sad part here, though. The Bible says the true light, talking here about the Word of God, the Son of God, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. And then even more sad, it says, he came to his own. He came to his own people. He came to the Jews, and his own people did not receive him. Think for a moment about the gravity of that. He made them. He's their source of life. He came to take away their sins. He's one of them as a Jew, and yet they did not receive him. If you go back 2,000 years earlier, we come to the time of Abraham, and God told Abraham in so many words, one of your descendants is going to be the Christ. God chose Abraham out of every man in the entire world to say, from you, I'm going to make a nation, and through that nation, I'm going to bring my son. All those people should have been thinking about that and should have been preparing for him to come, because actually, when you think about the Old Testament, which is more than half of the Bible, most of the Old Testament is focusing on who? It's focusing on the Jews. Why? Because they're such special people? Not so much. It's focusing on them because God has said, through this particular people, I'm going to bring my son into the world. That's the emphasis of the whole Bible regarding the Old Testament. And yet, when he came, they did not receive him. So he made them, but they didn't receive him. I was trying to think of a modern day example. So I thought about the man named Steve Jobs. Many of you probably know the name. He's the founder of Apple. And Apple, you know, the maker of computers and cell phones and all of that. So Steve Jobs is a very young man, a very brilliant man. He founded the company. He was the CEO of the company. And it came a time where they had to sell some stock in order to have the company grow bigger and bigger. So he no longer had a majority share in the company. But yet, he was the founder. He was the CEO. But there came a time, though, many years ago, where the board got together and said, Steve, we don't think you're the man anymore. We know you founded the company. We know you're the CEO, but we fire you. So they fired him from the company. Isn't that almost like what people have done to Jesus? He made them. He's their source of life. He wants to give them eternal life. And yet he comes to them and they look at him and said, Jesus, you're fired. Maybe that gives us a little bit of an idea what's going on here. It is just such a striking thing. But we have good news, though, because the text goes on and it says, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. There's a key word there I just read. The word is gave. So God gave the right to certain people to become the very children of God. So when we think about the word gave, it's kind of like giving a Christmas present, isn't it? So it's something that goes from one person to another. Well, maybe that's not the best example, though. Because when we give a gift sometimes, we're like, well, don't really want to give a gift here, but I know I received one, so now I feel obligated to give one. Well, that wasn't what God had going on here, though. God knew that we were completely undeserving. He knew we could never earn the right to be his children, but he so much wanted it that he said, I'm going to give you that right. I'm going to give you that privilege. It's a gift. Just like his son coming into the world is the greatest gift of all, God then giving us membership in his family, that is the most wonderful thing of all. Because it goes on and says, he gave the right to become children of God who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. We're all here today because at one point years ago, we were born of our mother. So by being born of our mother, that automatically made us a member of that family. What has God done for us, even through holy baptism? God was at work, and now we are born of God. So being born of God, that makes us a member of the family of God. What an awesome thing. And God's family is a forever family. When we think about being biological children, that's a temporary thing, only for this life. When we think about being born of God, that's forever and ever. These are great blessings that God has given us. And then finally, coming to the end here of the text, we know the familiar verse, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Christmas right there. The Word, who is the Son, becoming flesh and dwelling among us. That is Christmas. And why did he come? Why did he dwell among us? Why was he with us for a temporary time? He was with us in order to, first of all, live the perfect life that we could not live, and then second, to receive our sins and our punishment in order to open the way for us to be with God forever. Such important, fundamental things. I'm so glad we can be here today, that we can go over them. We know them already, but let's rejoice in them. Let's rejoice today. Let's reflect the light of Christ. Let's shine the light of Christ to others so that they might know too that God loves everyone very much, so much that he sent his son not only to be born of a woman, but in order to go to the cross. So we say sometimes that the Son of God was born to die. So the beginning part, being born as a baby, that's very wonderful and joyful. The other end of his life is very horrible when we think of Good Friday, but yet he came for that purpose, and that is why he was able to be glad, in a sense, when he said from the cross, "It is finished," because he completed his mission. He did live the perfect life. He did take away the sin of the world, and he opened the way for all of us to be with God forever. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for taking away our sins. Now, today, as we celebrate your birth with others, help us to reflect your light and help us to speak God's truth in love. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Thanks for listening. If you have questions, contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. If you are searching for a church in the Parma, Ohio area, attend with us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our regular schedule, Saturdays, class at 3, divine service at 4. Sundays, divine service at 9, classes at 10:30. For our festival schedule and much more, go to our website. Now, may the Lord of peace himself continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with us all.